Coming up, Jason Howell gets vigorous with the LG G3 Vigor. We've got some great new speakers from Cambridge Audio. I've always liked them. And $300 headphones, are they worth it? It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Time for Before You Buy, the product review show where we get some of the latest, greatest stuff and give it to our TWiT staff and let them play with it and give us their real-world experience with these products. A little bit later on, we just got our 5K iMac in
studio
yesterday. We've been playing with it. We'll give
it's
you
like
a little
looking
look.
Into a window or
isn't
looking
it?
Through a window.
Yeah. Wow. It spoils you for other displays, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, well, we'll talk about it. I'll show you a little bit. But let's start with Jason Howell. He is, of course, the host of All About Android.
How's it
and
going?
Congratulations on his new assignment where he's producing TWiT, Twig, and Mac Break Weekly. Good
That's
to have
right.
you there.
Thank you.
And also Android App Arena, which is a rundown of great Android apps every week. You
busy,
have
busy.
Something... What?
I said busy.
You are a busy boy. Hard-working man.
Yeah.
You have in your hand the Vigor.
It's the Vigor.
Now,
I'm not sure how I feel about that name.
G3. But... So how is this different from the G3?
Well, if you were to just look at this and not have a sense of scale... You'd think it was the LG G3. It's like...
Same thing, button on the back,
yeah.
The metal finish, nice so you, brushed metal finish.
Yeah, although it looks brushed metal, it's actually
plastic.
More of a plastic. Yeah. But it does a pretty good job of being
looks
faux
good.
Metal, I'd say. Yeah. Gives it a little bit more of a premium
QHD
look.
Display?
The display, it's a 5-inch 720p.
Chad's phone is
Somebody's
ringing.
Calling.
Chad will be
Hello?
Here later with his telephone system.
Oh, no. See, I thought my phone was ringing. No, that ringtone, as far as I know, is not on this device.
I do like the old-fashioned ringtone.
I know, totally. Yeah, Actually, that's what my wife prefers. She puts an imitation old-fashioned
ringtone
phone.
On it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a telemarketer.
It's a telemarketer, as usual.
Call back some other time.
We're on the air. Do you mind? So what's the difference between this and
okay,
the G3?
So this is, let's say this is more of like the entry/mid-range LG G3. It's the Vigor. You can get it on Sprint and AT&T right now. The display is a 5-inch 720p LCD IPS display.
Big difference. I mean, the G3 is famous for its 1440p
display. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, of course the resolution is going to be different because, you know, it's an entry-level device, right? So just to give you a sense of where this sits price-wise, Sprint... You can get it for $29.99 on contract, $49.99 on contract with AT&T. If you're buying it outright, cash, or, you know, just off contract, $312 and $334, respectively.
A lot less expensive than an LG G3.
Yes, exactly. Right. So that kind of gives you an idea
half
of pricing-wise where this sits as far as LG's devices are concerned. So it's definitely the entry-level version of the G3. And, you know, right off the top, that's not you're not spending a lot for it, but I think what they get right with this is they emulate the design, the body design of the LG G3, which a lot of people like. And so for an entry-level device, you get a pretty thin, pretty, you know, elegant-looking device. Design-wise, I think it looks pretty nice all around. You were saying before the show started that it kind of has the look of a Nexus 5.
I thought it was
very
similar, about that size, 5-inch screen.
You know, the only telling difference would be down here, but it really has a lot of a similar shape to the Nexus 5.
Is it a pure Android experience?
No, it is not.
Okay.
So that is the thing. You actually get the full software experience that the G3 gets. So that has some benefits to it. You have tap to turn the screen on.
I like
that. See if
that
works.
Although Lollipop's got to get that. So.
Yeah, that's getting it. But you get it in an entry-level device here. You get a knock code. You can have a security code to where you knock instead of, you know, do swipies or numbers or whatever.
You mean knock three times and the phone will turn
on. On different parts of the screen.
Knock,
so
knock,
it's like
knock,
up
knock.
Here,
oh,
down there,
cool.
And boom,
all
it's
right.
on. There's a guest mode, and that's also a part, actually, of Lollipop.
Right.
So you get this in pre-Lollipop on here.
We're starting to see this kind of with Cyanogen Mod
TouchWiz.
There's some of the Lollipop stuff is leaking in.
Yeah, they're converging.
But it is a KitKat right phone.
So this is KitKat. This is 4.4.2. You know, along with that, though, is just kind of a lot of software bloat. The internal storage on this is actually 8 gigs. So it's pretty light. And when you're talking about what you get out of the box after system apps and all that kind of stuff, less than 4 gigs. So half of your internal storage right out of the box is eaten up by system and installed apps.
It almost seems like it should be a crime to sell an 8 gig phone.
It is, but you know, at the same time, if you pop off the back, it is removable. I'm not going to do it now because then I'll spend the rest of the time trying to put it back on. But if I take it off, there is a micro SD card slot back there.
Oh,
so you can
right.
expand it. That doesn't necessarily help you for apps, but it definitely helps you for media that you want to store on the device if you're living in the cloud. Or whatever, you can download it to your SD card. Let's see here. Quad-core 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 400, and that's kind of the, you know, kind of the baseline for entry-level devices. We see a lot of that these days. 8-megapixel rear-facing camera. This does have the G3's laser autofocus.
Oh, interesting.
So that's a good inclusion. If only it worked the way you expect that it will. And Brian, I don't know if you have some of those photos loaded up. Some of the photos are okay. You know, it's the similar kind of thing that I say about a lot of these lower to mid-end devices as far as the camera is concerned. Great light, you're going to get pretty good pictures. Low light, it's going to be grainy, very blurry. I had a lot of blur. I kept most of the blur out of here because I wanted to like show off the benefits of the camera and not just the weaknesses. But, you know, I think it's okay, but I would definitely consider the camera on this phone one of the downsides. And if camera is important to you, you might want to look elsewhere. That just kind of has a haziness to it.
Ugly...
I really held myself still to
Who
try
is
and
that?
Take that. I have no idea, but I'm tripping out right now just
so
looking at it.
The whole point of laser focus was that it would be faster, more accurate.
More accurate, yeah, and actually faster. Which
I mean, everything's been in focus, right?
Yeah, everything that I put in here is actually in focus. If you blow this up, you'd see a little aliasing around the feather, around the
It's more the sensor that's the problem, not the focus.
Yeah, absolutely, I would say. There you go, see? You get in on it and you start to see.
Focused on the wrong thing is what it focused on. Yeah.
So, and a little bit of lag using the camera too between.
But we have to point out this is not.
Exactly.
And I think I really appreciate the fact that you're, instead of, as most of us are, well, it's got to be high-end or nothing, understand some people only have a few $100.
I would definitely.
They want a decent phone. That's not a great picture.
This is a front-facing camera.
Is that blown up? Oh, that's the front-facing
camera. This is a front-facing camera. I think the next one is rear-facing camera. Yeah.
Just
to give you a sense
of
the clarity differences between the two.
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely say that reviewing devices like this is probably the hardest type of device
because
to review.
We're snobs.
Spoiled. We get the best of the best around here. And so you have to really take a look at these devices through the eyes of someone who, you know, this is their price point.
Right.
This is what they can afford. What are the best options there? And, you know, I'd say all through and through, it has weaknesses. But it still does a pretty good job. Performance, you know, it performs in the way that a Snapdragon 400 is going to perform with 1 gig of RAM. It's okay. For multitasking, it's probably not the best device in the world. But I don't think, you know, that's power user stuff. And power users aren't going to get this device.
And they're
going to
pay through the nose for their habits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So pros and cons on the LG G3. What is it? The Vigor.
The Vigor.
Vigor.
Well, the con, I don't like the name Vigor. But aside from that, let's see here. So pros, I think the screen is a pretty good compromise for the low end, 720p, and it's a pretty nice looking screen. The design, you know, has a nice kind of premium quality design for a low price. And the contract price is really low, $29.99 entry point on Sprint if you're committed to a 2-year contract. And that's a pretty great price to get a device like this. Cons, the camera, obviously. Performance, slowdowns, but you're going to kind of expect that on a low-end device running the 400. And then storage. I mean, it's hard to be very happy about the fact that more than half of your storage is eaten up right out of the box, but you have the ability to expand that through microSD.
Buy?
I'd say buy. If you're a casual user and you only have a certain amount of money to spend, it's a pretty good deal. If you're going to buy off-contract, Moto G might be a better option. They're about the same price. This might actually be a little bit more expensive than the Moto G. So I would say, you know, try them out.
We loved the Moto G.
Yeah, and the Moto G is great.
That's probably be our choice.
That's like the standard that these lower end devices are now compared against because it's such a powerful device.
I also have to point out that for a little bit more, you can get a 64 gig OnePlus One. If you can get one.
That's a good point.
You know, for $350. Lots of storage, state-of-the-art flagship specs.
Yeah, if you're willing to play their games.
But you have to. Well,
they had a pre-order.
I think it's getting easier. They had a pre-order Tuesday, right?
It was an hour-long pre-order.
Yeah.
And because of site issues, it ended up being 3 hours long. And it was plagued with issues. But, yes, you're right. If you have a little bit more to spend off contract and you're willing to kind of jump through a few hoops, the OnePlus One is hard to beat.
Yeah. Jason Howell, he's the king of Android. It's all about Android and the Android app arena.
That's right.
Thank
you.
We thank you for your review.
Absolutely.
Tanya Hall is one of our hosts. She also produces this show, among others. She hosts Marketing Mavericks, but she also has an ear for great music. That's why we gave her the Sony MDR-1R headphones. $300 headphones. Are they worth it? Let's find out.
Hi, I'm Tanya Hall, host of Marketing Mavericks, and I'm here to talk today about the Sony headset MDR-1R. And it is a really nice headset here. It comes with two cords, one for iOS and this one as well. So you have two. It also comes with a really nice pouch carrying case that actually has, if you can see, a pocket inside. I actually really like the quality of this case too. And it's soft on the inside. It's actually got two layers and it's really durable. So if you're going to spend a lot of money on a nice headset, headphones, you really want something to protect them. And I can't believe how many times people don't actually include them, but Sony thought ahead and they did that. The stereo headphones that we're looking at here are fairly lightweight. I'm guessing that this is painted plastic. It's a gunmetal paint on it, but it's actually looks quite durable. I know that would be potentially a concern to some people that it wouldn't be metal, but actually the advantage is that it is incredibly light on your head, which was really, really an advantage. And probably one of my favorite features is this really soft cushion, the padding. It's like a little pillow for your ears. Super, super, super nice. And I don't know if you can see inside here at this angle, but we'll focus in on that. This is the driver inside, which is actually angled, and they do that for a little bit more of a natural sound. The only thing I would say about this, though, is that some people who tried these, and I did just barely, they could feel this inside against their ear. So that could be a little irritating, but I would say overall these were amazingly comfortable. Even the headband on top is cushioned with this kind of faux leather and a lot of padding. They're very, very comfortable. Here's how you adjust them. They click on each side. And then the other thing is these also are adjustable. The earphones themselves, the ear pads themselves are adjustable vertically and horizontally. One thing they didn't do is they didn't fold, which isn't a big deal. And actually, I think the way that Sony built these is even a little bit better, maybe that they actually just lay flat so they can fit nicely into the case. So let's talk about the sound quality. Sony boasts that they are at 80 kilohertz, but let's just say this, what my experience was, the bass was really nice. It wasn't overly powerful, but if you want to listen to rap music or something that requires a lot of bass, it has actually got a very nice sound quality. And then it also has a really nice mid-range and then the upper range. So the treble was really nice. In fact, what I found was listening to some of my favorite female artists was really, really great sound. It was probably some of the best that I've heard on some headsets, headphones like this. And I think that definitely should be noted that it's a wide range of music. So if you have a wide taste in music, then this is probably good for you. The other thing that I'll say is that these are not Bluetooth, but Sony does make two other versions. They have a Bluetooth version and a noise canceling version. I have not reviewed those, so I don't know what those are like, but I can tell you these are quite nice. Here's the kicker. They are listed at about $300. They're $299, but I found them at $169. So if you search really hard, you'll find them. I would actually recommend these even at the $299 price range, but really shop around for them because you're probably going to get a great deal. So let me talk about the pros and cons. There's a lot of pros. The ear cups, probably one of my favorite things. You can actually wear these all day very, very comfortably. You almost don't want to take them off. And I can't say that about a lot of headphones. The other thing that I would say is the detachable cables are actually quite nice. And they even have the angled cable, so it doesn't wear as easily. So when you put it into your computer, it's actually angled. But I like the detachable cables. It's just much better for you usage-wise. And then the protective carrying case. I know that seems small, but if you want to protect your investment, that's a great thing to have. And then, of course, the great listening range. If you have a wide taste in music, then this is good for you. The only con is potentially the price. Although it is pretty comparable to other headphones in the same category, $299 isn't terrible. But again, I found it for much less and kind of a steal. So this is Tanya Hall, and I give the Sony MDR 1R a buy. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on Marketing Mavericks.
Interesting. So good. You know what? I think $300 isn't that much for good headphones. I know it sounds like an awful lot of money, but you can spend a lot more. And, you know, with $170 if you shop around, and they're good sounding headphones. All right, a buy. Thank you, Tanya Hall, host of Marketing Mavericks. A buy for the MDR-1R headphones from Sony. One of the brand names I liked for a long time for stereo, and maybe 30 years ago they were independent, was Cambridge Soundworks. I don't know if you remember them. Logitech bought them maybe 10 years ago and has continued the brand. They're now making these portable Bluetooth speakers. We see a lot of them. We thought we'd give Shannon Moore Snubs a couple and get her review. This is what she had to say.
Hey everyone, I'm Shannon Morris and I'm with Before You Buy, and today I have a couple of Cambridge audio speakers. First off, we have the G2 Mini Portable Bluetooth Speaker, and later on we have the Go Portable Bluetooth Speaker. So first off, the G2 Mini. This one's MSRP is around $160 USD, or £100, and it comes in black or champagne, and it weighs just about 1 pound. The battery life for this guy is about 10 hours, and it can charge other devices such as your iPhone or your MP3 player. It will power down after about 30 minutes of not using it, so if you just turn off your audio and walk away, it'll automatically power down and you won't have to worry about your battery life. On the back, you have an aux-in. You also have dual pairing mode, so you can put these in right or left mode, or you can also put them in separate rooms so you can listen to the same music in two different rooms. And you also have the USB port for your charging. It does have Class D digital amplifiers with 4 drivers on the inside, so pretty good sound quality out of here. It does have speakerphone usage as well, and I found it to be pretty crisp and clear whenever I walked around my household, so no problems there. And it does have Bluetooth and NFC capability. I love that speakers are including NFC capability these days. It's so much fun. Now, as far as the music goes, deep and heavy bass. That's the big thing with this guy that I noticed. Rock and roll sounded awesome. All of my hip-hop music sounded great, even my nerdcore music. I have to say it's one of my favorites. And it sounded wonderful. I didn't notice any kind of distortions, even at the highest levels that I can make it, and it gets pretty loud. Vocals, on the other hand, sounded a little bit muffled, kind of as if the speaker was covered up by a cloth or something like that. So it does get loud, no distortion, but vocals are a little muffled. So on the pro side for this one, it is a beautiful, sleek design. I love the design of this, and it has a very, very long battery life. But on the con side, the vocals are muffled. So buy, try, or don't buy for this one. I would give it a try. Moving on, we have the Cambridge Audio Go V2 Bluetooth speaker. So this is version 2, not to be confused with the older Minx Go from last year. The MSRP on this is $180, and it comes in either white or black. And the battery life on this guy, you're going to be really impressed. It's 18 hours. I know, that's a really long time for a Bluetooth speaker. I'm very impressed with that. And it can charge phones as well, which is great. As far as what's inside of this big guy, it has 2 titanium tweeters as well as 2 2-inch woofers and 1 5.4-inch wide bass radiator on the back. So you get plenty of nice sound quality out of it. It does have Bluetooth and NFC capability as well as aux-in, but no speakerphone usage. Wah, wah. But I have to say, beautiful sound quality across the board. It picks up all the instruments in my jazz music and my instrumental music. It carries really, really heavy and deep bass for all of my rocking out, rocking roll music. And the vocals are really clear and very, very enjoyable whether I'm listening to podcasts or audiobooks. It doesn't get as loud as some competitors on the market, though, but it is superior in the sound quality. So if loudness isn't as important as sound quality, this might be a speaker that you would enjoy. The pros on this one, it's a super battery life, excellent sound quality, and the build quality on this is quite on par. It's excellent. Now, on the con side, though, no speakerphones, so that might be an issue for some people. Is that a buy, try, or don't buy in my book? I give it a buy. It's a beautiful product. I love it. And honestly, Cambridge Audio makes some excellent speakers. So those were the Cambridge Audio G2 Mini Bluetooth speaker and the Go Portable Bluetooth speaker. Again, I'm Shannon Morris, and this is for Before You Buy.
That's Shannon Morris, host of TechZilla and a regular on Before You Buy, and a try on the Cambridge Audio G2 Bluetooth speakers, but a buy on the V2 speakers. A little bit more, but it sounds like worth the extra $20. Now, I don't know why the phone kept ringing over here, but Chad Johnson is here.
Actual telemarketers.
Really?
I picked up the phone, and yeah, it was, hi, we were with such and such research, and we
you
would just like
just,
to do...
You literally like, just set this up, and it started ringing from...
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right.
I hadn't, through the whole review, I hadn't gotten a telemarketer.
That's so funny.
But the moment we go live, yes.
Chad Johnson is the host of OMG Craft. We have to tell you, you can go to Patreon now.
Yeah.
And support Chad.
Yeah.
What is the
Patreon.
URL?
Patreon.com/OMGChad.
Please do that. Patreon, Patreon.com/OMGChad. He only has $43 a show right now.
Right. $43 a month. A month.
We need to get that up.
Yeah. How do you like that wonderful image?
Fake Shutterstock might be part of the problem.
I think it's real Shutterstock, but
is that going to stay? That's just a dummy.
No, that was a quick, that was just like, you know
just
what?
It's up.
Today. I'm just going to throw it
please.
Up.
Please.
We
want to support the continued production of OMG Craft, which will continue on YouTube.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not, but, you know, we took it off Twitter about a month ago, but it's on YouTube. And all the proceeds go to Chad, which is what we want. And, of course, he's still on the GizWiz, and we'll come by before you buy.
I'm here on Before You Buy.
We love having you here. So,
what do I have today?
This is called Sprint Connect 3.
Yes.
What is it?
This is kind of an interesting middle product of someone who wants a cell phone but also wants to use their normal house phone. So, basically, this little box is a cell phone. It has a phone number. It has voicemail. It's connected through Sprint. You have even, like, sort of the old cell phone-style menus on the front of it. Do you remember, like...
Look at that.
Isn't that... This is, like...
I mean, really old.
Really old.
I bet you that is an old cell phone.
I'm positive it is. This is, like, the screens that cost them pennies to make, and they just had a whole bunch lying around. but then on the back, you have two phone jacks. Yeah, just normal old phone jacks. And so we have two phones plugged in. And what happens is just like anything else, just like a normal phone.
If you
if you get a phone call, it will ring this phone.
Okay.
And here you go ahead and take this.
This phone works?
Yep. Pick it up.
Hello?
Now, you'll actually hear, I did the voicemail. I called the voicemail. And so you can hear it through there, right?
Please take a minute to set up your mailbox.
Isn't that hilarious?
That is
and then
wild.
Just hang up when you're ready to hang up.
So, wow, that's a nice phone.
Isn't that crazy? It's a real phone.
So
now, obviously, this phone can't dial. It doesn't need tone.
This is using a rotary.
Yeah, this is using a rotary. So you wouldn't be able to dial, but you'd be able to call and talk.
You could buy these at Radio Shack for $8.
Oh,
these
totally.
Are nothing. Yeah.
Totally. Absolutely nothing. When you pick it up, you can hear a dial tone.
So it sounds just like a normal
dial tone. It sounds just like a normal dial tone, which is funny because that was actually the first thing I did was listen for a dial tone.
And it does.
Because I had an issue with my grandmother that we got her a cell phone, and the first thing she did was open it and says, it's broken.
I can't hear it.
It's not working because there was no dial tone. So I'm really glad it actually sends a tone to the phone. When you want to make a call, you just pick it up. You type in your stuff, and you can see that it happens over here on the screen.
So from your point of view as a user of that handset, your grandma would just think it's a regular phone.
Absolutely.
She doesn't need to know about the little box.
If I end the call, pick it up.
But is there more you can do because you have the little box?
Not much. It's just, this has cell phone capabilities, so it's going to have voicemail.
It looks like it's charging its battery.
It is. So it does have a backup battery. I originally thought that this battery was like, so take it anywhere, put it in your car.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll last for a day and a half or something. That's what it did when I had this plugged
that's not
into
bad.
It.
So that means even if the power goes out, it'll still work.
Right, exactly.
As long as the cell network still works.
Yeah, so there's the battery in the back.
All right.
And so it's not meant to be like a cell phone where you unplug it and run it around.
And it's Sprint only.
Sprint only. This is like a Sprint device. They've kind of like, I don't see the manufacturer anywhere.
Right.
This is just a Sprint thing. This battery is getting in the way.
So do I get a – is it cheaper than a cell phone?
So it's $150.
To buy the device.
To buy the device. Now,
what's the monthly like?
It's just a Sprint, whatever your Sprint contract would be.
So right. It's more expensive than a landline would be.
Yes, it will most likely be. Now, what do you get from something like this? Maybe you're in an area that is, it'd be expensive to run a line or something like that, and it's a wireless, thing. Also, this might have a niche in people who need to have a specialty phone. When I pick this up, this is super loud.
Right.
Like, this is way loud compared to a cell phone, and you could have special, it also does the TTY, I think it's
TTY,
called.
TTY, yeah. That's, if you're deaf, it'll give you text.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's in the menus in here.
But that's the screen
somewhere.
You're going to see the text on?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it would be that this is a screen.
Well, wait a minute. The
you
other
might have
way
a device.
You can do it, they have TTY operators who will.
Right.
Yeah, so that's.
I thought that it came in through the line. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But yes, I didn't get to test that. The other thing, so along with the two ports in the back, it'll also connect with Bluetooth. So when the phone rang earlier, it actually showed up on my cell phone, and I could answer on my cell phone.
Oh, that's interesting.
So this would be perfect for an office
it's
where you only have one.
Right.
Yeah, and you're going to be around. Now, of course, it has limitations of Bluetooth, so this wouldn't work throughout, like, your whole house complex.
30 feet.
Right. It's going to be 30 feet. So this could be in your office, and then you could run wires around your house to get to the second floor or outside or wherever you want.
You should also point out, especially if you're considering this for grandma, the 911 situation. It's not going to be a regular 911. It's going to be an E911.
E911. Absolutely.
So that's
Absolutely.
Not quite as good.
Absolutely.
You have to register your address and so forth. It also, I mean, it's good that it works if the power goes out, but if the cell phone's towers
are down.
And often when the power goes out.
And normally with a landline, it works with the power out
to
anyway.
Work as long as the phone company has power. So.
Right.
A landline might be a better choice for grandma. Cheaper, more reliable in a storm, and real 911. But there are plenty of people who this would be a great solution for, especially somebody who, lived in a tent.
Yes, something like that.
In the middle of nowhere.
Something like that.
Right.
So this would be a great car phone, wouldn't it? Hello, I'm on the interstate right now.
I like that idea. So the Sprint Connect.
So the
pros.
Pros are that you can use your own existing phones if you have a cheap one. Another pro is that it has the ability to use specialized phones if you need something like that. That, like, say with a louder speaker or more direct mic or something like that. You can also connect multiple phones with the Bluetooth and the extra lines. On the cons, this clunky menu interface. The up and down buttons are off to the side, so it's. You have to remember that this is the down and this is the up, and then the menu buttons are right here. Yeah. It could be switched very easily,
and Gam is not going to be able to read.
Gam is really not going to be able to read that screen. And then also, it has only two LED exclamation point and the Bluetooth are the two only LED indicators. And that is really ambiguous what's going on. It blinks once, and it could blink because I have a voicemail, because the power's out, because the battery's about to die. Who knows? And then this is not foldable. This is bent at 90 degrees, and you get to move it whichever way you want.
And placement might be critical because you do have to have Sprint connectivity wherever you're going to put that.
Right. So $150, the Sprint Phone Connect 3. Buy, try, don't buy. I'm going to say buy. There's nothing really wrong with
it. You know if you need it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know if you need this device. And it has that Bluetooth connectivity, which I thought was a nice pro and stuff like that.
People are telling me in the chat room that cell towers are very reliable. So, since you have a day and a half, that's going to be a day and a half of phone, even if the power goes out. So that's a good safety phone. Thank you, Chad. Chad Johnson, OMG Chad. Find OMG Craft on YouTube, youtube.com/OMGCraft. OMG Craft. And support him on Patreon. Patreon.com/OMGChad. He is creating
whatever comes
in
next.
Korean, apparently.
That was a toss. That was a table toss. They want you. They force you to put something there, and I was so frustrated.
Oh, I get it.
I just put the table toss emoji because I have no idea what I want to put under what comes next.
All the kids are doing
it. I put it up in 5 minutes.
I love it. It'll get interesting there. I guarantee you, and it'll be worth any dollars you throw at him. Thank you, Chad. Stick around because I need your eyes.
Of course.
Because we have sitting right here the new iMac that Apple announced a couple of weeks ago. This is the 5K iMac. And it's really kind of remarkable. 5K means this is 14.7 megapixels. The resolution on this is mind-boggling. It is not 4K, it's 5K, so it's, which is actually double the standard iMac resolution, which is normally 1440, so this is 2880. Wow. And then it's what? It's 5120.
Over 5,000 pixels across. On the top. Yeah.
We're running a trailer for a 4K movie on here, which isn't even using all the dots. But one of the things you'll get from this immediately is this is a stunning display. And when you see images on this display, even just desktop wallpaper, you realize how immersive a 5K display can be. What Apple
does... It just looks juicy.
It's incredible. What Apple does with this is the same as what they do with their Retina displays. This is a really good example. Now, remember, you're watching this, even if you're watching our HD download at 720p, so you're just not seeing it. And that's why I wanted Chad's eyes. You got to go to an Apple store and look at it. It really is deep. And by the way, this is something Jason Snell gave us. This is the original iMac screen from 1984. That little postage stamp down there, this is how much more real estate we're getting than the original iMac screen. It is stunning. And Apple's done some real magic to make this screen work because, of course, with 14.7 million pixels, that's a lot. They've got fast GPU in it, but they also, because it's, in fact, really, there's only one kind of computer that could do this, a computer where the screen and the computer are in the same housing, so you don't have to use Thunderbolt or DVI or Mini DisplayPort to drive it. You can actually literally drive it directly from the video card. Apple designed some chips, including they said something they called the T-Con, the time controller chip, to make it possible to do high refresh, high bit rate, high DPI images with a standard computer. Now, the base model, $2,500, only includes a i5 processor. I have not played with the base model. This is not the base model. Apple was sending out for review the i7 model. We bought the i7 model with the top-of-the-line graphics cards and so forth. We also bought the terabyte drive and 16 gigs of RAM. So this is maxed out. This is a $4,000 version of this. But I have to tell you, plenty fast. And those people who have been playing with the base unit also report no issues. I have a 4K monitor on my Mac Pro, and I get a lot of screen tearing because of the way 4K is done when you have to go through Thunderbolt. This doesn't have any of that. This is rock solid and steady. Now, Apple is doing the same thing, as I mentioned, they do with the Mac Retina, the Mac Pro, MacBook Pro Retina. They scale it to one half. So nominally, this is the same as an iMac, but every single, they call it point on the screen, what would have been a pixel on the old iMac, is composed of 4 pixels. So text is crystal clear and beautiful. If there's an image, if you're using Lightroom or iPhoto or you're playing back videos, it'll use every dot. So the quality of images is stunning. Let me show you. If we turn off this best for display, this high DPI mode, and go to scaled, you'll see everything gets a lot smaller. You get a lot more real estate. And it, frankly, because the screen is so good, it's only 27 inches. Even the menus do work. The icons can be made bigger. But you see that it really made all the text a whole heck of a lot smaller. That's because we have doubled the resolution. You generally, with these Apple displays, like the MacBook Pro with Retina, you want to run what Apple says best for display. That's the high DPI mode. And you'll get the best of both worlds. Like stunningly crisp text, but beautiful dot-for-dot images, even with 5K video, if you could find some 5K video. We tried hard to get a Red Epic camera next door and to show off this display, but they were all in use. The truth is, even with the high-speed SSD and the fast processor, it'd be hard to play back true 5K video on here just because there's so much data in there. So anything, like if you use YouTube's 4K video, it's so heavily compressed, you're not going to see really all the quality that you could see. This is a fairly compressed QuickTime movie. Timescapes was made when the MacBook Pro with Retina came out a couple of years ago to show off the MacBook's resolution. This is not the full display, the 2880. It's 2560, so it's close. And you see the scaler works really well. You don't see any artifacts from the scaling. You just see a really gorgeous image. So It is exactly in every other respect like the old iMac, 5 millimeters on the edge. It's really kind of amazing. It's a little bit of an optical illusion because, of course, it has to get fatter as it goes to the middle here. That's where the guts of the computer are. We've been running this very rich movie over and over again all day. The computer is not hot. You cannot hear a fan. There is a fan in it, but you don't hear it blowing. It's dead quiet. This is a gorgeous computer, and Apple has really set a new bar. There will be a 5K monitor from Dell at the same price. So if you compare this to Dell's 5K monitor, you're getting the computer for free. And I can promise you the Dell 5K monitor won't work as well because it doesn't have that direct connect to the GPU that a computer, an all-in-one computer like this can have. This is really a stunning achievement from Apple. On the pro side, you're not going to get a better screen. The color rendition, the accuracy, the resolution, the speed with which it draws. Video games like BioShock Infinite on this, of course, you're not going to run them at full resolution. You can't. But you run them at half resolution, you've never seen anything so gorgeous in your life. So a great display for photographers, for gamers, for animators, for filmmakers, anybody for whom visual is important. Price-wise, I think Apple, you know, at $2,500 is pretty close with an i5 and 8 gigs of RAM to an iMac. But if you don't really need the great display, you can save a few hundred dollars by getting the older iMac, the less high resolution. This is going to spoil you. If you go to the store and see this and you play with it for any length of time, it's going to spoil you. The cons, it is more expensive. I'll be honest with you, they can't find another con. I love it. And by the way, the i7 that we put in this high end, the 4 gigahertz i7, that's the fastest single-core processing speed on the market today. Nothing is faster than 4 gigahertz.
Wow.
So if what you do, and most of what you do uses a single core, this is actually faster than the Mac Pro. It is a really lightning-fast computer. Of course, it's a buy. There's no question in my mind. In fact, I bought it, not for me, but for Lisa, for $4,000, and I hope she enjoys it.
Just like any Apple product, I'm just stunned.
Isn't
over.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, we've seen
also,
these iMacs for a long time.
Detail of fabrication and the glass
really
is beautiful, and oh, it's amazing.
A couple of notes: you can get a Visa mount for this and mount it on an arm on the wall for about $50 extra. That's kind of nice to know. It is available in stores, so you can go see it if you want to. It's shipping now. Pretty amazing. 5K display from Apple, the new iMac. Definitely a buy. Hey, thanks, Chad Johnson, OMG Chad, for being here. We appreciate it. Thanks to Jason Howell, Tanya Hall, to Snubs. We appreciate your being here as well. We do Before You Buy, right after Security Now, every Tuesday afternoon on the Twit Network. Come on by and say hi. If you can't, though, we have on-demand audio and video available. And this show in particular in a lot of different ways. Of course, you can go to twit.tv/BYB. As with all our shows, you can download audio or video. Get the video. You want to see this stuff, I think. But we also put it up on YouTube, and not only as a whole show, but as individual reviews, so you can share them with friends and family. That's youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can email us, byb@twit.tv, if there's something you'd like to see us review. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us. And remember, you gotta watch before you buy. Take care.